WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Gail Kim. This is WWE Superstar Natalya.
Hi, this is Brie.
And this is Nikki. And we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Haughty.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rack. And you're listening to the greatest rack.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
In this moment in time, right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my head.
With your host,
they've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
I knew you'd come.
And this is going to be simply glorious!
Radio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, a huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RockRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you get a couple seconds during the show, after the show, or during tomorrow, or whenever, go check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. They are amazing, and they post amazing things, so you don't want to just, you know, not go there, because you should totally go there. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here with live The Rack Thursdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, along there with the Wild Talk Radio Network, at Rack Radio Show, at Wild Talk Radio, at Lindsay Ward on the Twitters. Interact with us there. Interact on the website she just mentioned, because we like to chat with people. I have the Twitter machine up and running as we're doing this show, so you can interact with us there. And all that fun, happy stuff. Because we're back, we're live.
I mean,
here's the thing. We weren't live last week, but we gave you like double the show.
Yeah, we did like a three-hour show.
It came out to be like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so we still gave you a show. We actually had to record that over two nights. Because, you know, reasons. But yes, I'm back. I'm back off vacation. I am well-rested. Slightly horrified by hotel conditions, but well-rested. What do you do when the quality inn is less than quality? You go find the Marriott. That is exactly what happened.
Or as the Undertaker says,
let the good times roll.
Something like that.
Reasons.
Awkward. Anyway, but I will say this. All it takes is for me to go out of town and stuff literally just happens.
We have a sheet full of news.
Oh my lord, y'all. I go away for 5 days, 4 days, something like that, and just, I come back and there's news. There's tons of news.
Which is always presented by Gerwick.net.
So, we're just going to jump into the news. We're actually going to talk about the trending topic for today first, and we'll get into the other stories here in a few minutes, but we have to talk about the Mae Young Classic because I am beyond excited.
I think a lot of people are excited for this Mae Young Classic. I'm excited. You're excited. Everyone's excited.
I kind of want to cry a little bit. It's so pretty. It's so beautiful. Just seeing all the competitors that they brought in from everywhere, you know, the amount of diversity, all different shapes and sizes, just the amount of talent there. They have a female ref, for the love of God. They have a female commentator. I mean, just, it's so pretty.
All right, let's break it all down one by one. Female commentator is Lita.
Backstage interviewer, Medusa.
And then there's a parade of 32 different women in this thing.
And not a lot of them are NXT signees.
No, they're not. So you're going to list off the names for the people?
Oh, I should totally list off the names for the people.
Mm-hmm. That would be a smart thing to do as the host of this show.
Do I have the names? That is the question.
You can scroll up two images and there's all the names.
Thank you. Jerk.
How's that? Really? Okay. This is how we're starting the show, everybody.
So. I could have called you worse. I could have called you a lot worse than that.
I know, but anyway, you have those names?
Yes.
Don't say the word versus, because that would be a spoiler.
I'm not going to.
Okay. Just making sure.
Anyway, Kaylee Ray, Serena Deeb, who grew her hair back, and she looks awesome. Shayna Baszler. Piper Niven, very excited for that one. Mia Yim, Zee Lee, Rhea Ripley, Abby Leif, Toni Storm, Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, who got the biggest goddamn pop you've ever heard. It was adorable. She was taken aback. She had a minute.
One of the two biggest pops of the night.
Yeah. Rachel Evers, Sage Beckett, Tanara Conti, Nicole Savoy, Kari Sane.
Stop right there. Other biggest pop of the night.
Yeah. Princessa Sugit,
mm-hmm.
Vanessa Bourne, Zeta, Santana Garrett, Sarah Logan,
Crazy Mary Dobson,
Mercedes Martinez, there's my favorite right there, Miranda Salinas, Jazzy Gabert, Aisha Raymond.
Hold on, Jazzy Gabert is alpha female.
Yes, Aisha Raymond, Kavita Devi, Renee Michelle, Marty Bell, okay, Bianca Belair, Lacey Evans, Rena Gonzalez, and Tessa Blanchard. This is a field. This is so field.
This is
amazing.
Whit put to her chat room that she thought Baszler got a bigger pop than she thought she'd get. Not really. She's a big deal. Shayna Baszler is a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
She will legit mess you the F up.
Yeah, she will. She's kind of scary looking, but in an awesome way. Like, she came out and I was like, that's a girl.
Yeah, she is. So, this is a very stacked field. Ronda Rousey was there, hobnobbing with people. You have a bunch of WWE superstars in the crowd, all the women are there.
Except for Sasha.
Who's in New Zealand doing PR work and seeing the show via FaceTime, thanks to Bailey.
Because Bailey's a friend like that.
When one person's, you know, completely across the other side of the world, you FaceTime, and that's the power of the interwebs.
It is the power of the interwebs.
All right, so looking at the list, who are your, say, final four?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard. I want them all to make it.
But they all can't make it.
I know they all can't make it. I think Candice is going to make it. I would bet that probably Toni Storm makes it. Let's see. I'm looking down names and I'm thinking. Maybe Lacey and Marty.
All right, my final four are Candice, Kairi Sane, Lacey Evans, and Shayna Baszler. And those were the first four that came to my mind after they announced all 32 of them earlier on YouTube and Facebook. That's my picks. And that's Lindsay's picks. If you have some picks, you can tweet them at Wild Talk Radio or at Raccoon Show. You can leave them in the chat room as well. I know there's spoilers out there, but I'm trying to avoid those.
Yeah, we're not going to give away who's facing who. We're not going to give away who's won any matches. We can tell you that Johnny Gargano is there cheering on his wife, and it is adorable.
I can announce this. On August 20th, right after SummerSlam, will be the Mae Young Classic Bracketology, hosted by Lita and Corey Graves. The following week, as we've mentioned on the show, will be the first four episodes released of the Mae Young Classic.
We may have to do rack extras of this. I feel a need. Do y'all want us to do rack extras about the Mae Young Classic? Tweet us. Let us know. We will consider it strongly. And we're trying to put together a rack extra of GLOW. I promise. We just haven't gotten there yet.
You tell me when we do things and I just sit here and do it. That's it.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just telling the people. It's in the works. Vacations happened. It's a thing.
Whit wants rack extras. We'll bring them. We'll do them.
Yes, after for the glow extra, yes. And I like how the intro graphics for this had, like, a glow feel.
They did have a glow feel, yeah.
And I don't know whether that was intentional or not intentional, but I like how they kind of did a little tie-in. I loved the reference back through history. Again, my one pet peeve when they do the women's division is they sort of leave out all the girls, like, from about 2006, 2007 to really the Four Horsewomen, and they don't really mention all those girls between, which is very unfortunate.
Well, the Bellas were there.
But there were more than just the Bellas.
Were there? Were there? Oh, okay. Kidding.
Even though I really don't like her, Michelle McCool does get her due.
Hey, Natty's still there.
Natty's still there.
There you go. Tamina's still there.
Tamina's still there.
Alicia Fox is still there.
Maria Kanellis is back.
Say, they're all back. They're good. They're still good. Mickey's back.
But no, I'm talking about all the girls that were just in after Trish and Lita that I know. They don't get their due, and they always leave them out of stuff because it's like, that was the quote-unquote Divas division, and they're trying to distance themselves from it as much as possible, so those girls kind of get left out, but they work just as hard as everybody else, so maybe one day they'll get their due.
Maybe one day.
Maybe. But yes, very, very excited about this, because it's so cool to me, because you think of where women's wrestling was a couple years ago, even, and the thought of a 32-woman tournament to decide the best women's wrestler in the world, I mean, shut up, that never would have happened 3 years ago. 4 years ago. Now it's like, oh, hey, let's do a women's tournament. Let's bring everybody in from all over the world. And yeah, let's do a thing.
I can't wait. It should be a lot of fun. I got to find the time to watch it all. And then we'll do rack extras about it.
Yes. Yes, we shall.
We'll probably do... Okay. Thinking out loud, we'll probably do two rack extras and then a third for the finals. So we'll watch four, because that's how they drop. That's how we'll do them. So be prepared, people, for stuff. Content. We provide the content. So listen to it?
Yes. Listen to it. So damn it.
So I have a transition for us.
So do I, but let's hear yours.
So speaking of women in wrestling and tournaments like that, one person we won't be seeing in this tournament is a former TNA knockout, Velvet Sky.
One brain, dude.
She has announced that she will be retired from the wrestling ring.
Yes, she hasn't retired fully, but she's no longer wrestling. She's not taking any more matches, but she will still do appearances.
And someone who else won't be in the tournament because she's still under contract with Impact Wrestling till the end of the year when she will be retiring is Gail Kim, as announced tonight on Impact on Pop. Gail Kim will be retiring at the end of this year.
Good for her. A little sad she's not in the tournament, but good that she's retiring. She's had a fantastic career.
Yeah, and she had a back injury last year that's completely sidelined her, so this is her wrapping things up.
And she should get to go be with Robert and have a happy life and chill.
Maybe start a family. So, those are women retiring. What's next?
So, now we're going to kind of sort of stay on the women's kick, because we do have to talk about this, because this is a huge story, and it ties into both WWE and Impact Wrestling, and it's not the most positive story, but we do have to talk about it, and that is that earlier this week, Alberto Del Rio, aka Alberto Del Patron, and Paige were detained at the Orlando airport due to a domestic dispute they were having in and around the Orlando airport. Audio of this was released by a fan who followed them and recorded it. You can hear the two yelling at each other, making threats at each other. It's overall not a positive situation. He is being described as smelling like beer and acting drunk. He accuses her of having cocaine in her bag and being high all the time. There are conflicting reports about what actually happened. The facts are this, that Alberto was detained for a short while. He is currently under investigation by the Orlando police for domestic battery on Paige, and he has been suspended indefinitely by Global Force Wrestling until the situation is resolved either way, at which point further action may need to be taken on their part. But for right now, he has been suspended. This is huge for a lot of reasons. Half of them I'm not going to get into because I'll get myself in trouble. But this is huge. And what's added kind of like insult, I guess, to injury at this point is Paige's family has thrown paraffin on this by coming out and saying that they're scared for her life. They're worried about her. They've all but accused him of beating her, I believe, in one of the posts. And the brothers are pleading with people to help her because she won't get out. And so basically they're saying if you show her that you have enough love and support for her, that she can leave him and she can go on with her life. Does that everything?
That pretty much covers it.
Should note that the conflicting stories are the initial statement that Paige released, where basically she said that the fan threw the drink on Alberto and followed them. She then changed her story a couple days later to she threw the drink on Alberto and all hell broke loose from there. That seems to line up with the fan account where the fan said that Paige threw the drink on Alberto. So there's some confusion as to what actually happened. Obviously, there might be a little bit of covering up going on here on her part.
Let's make facts facts. She states in her long Twitter post that she is being investigated. No, she is not. That is a cover-up. The Orlando police are reporting that the only one is Jose Rodriguez, a.k.a. Alberto El Patron, is the one under investigation. Number two. Girl, smart up. Smart up.
Yeah. We all pray for a happy, peaceful ending to this, whatever it is. But I think a lot of people are thinking that's not going to happen, but let's hope they can get their problems worked out, they can get them resolved. This is not the first time the police have been involved with these two, but let's hope it's the last time the police are involved with these two. So the story is ongoing, the investigation is ongoing, so we'll keep you updated with any updates that may come out on it. Not that we're expecting much, but as things progress, we'll let you know.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date as best as we can, I guess. That's the best way to put it. There are, if you listen, you read what she writes, and
we're not going to go into opinion here.
No,
we're
I'm
not.
Just,
we're
just,
we're going to.
I'm just, let me make this statement. If you read what she writes, there's trouble. She needs help. Someone go find help for her. That's it.
Someone go get her.
That's it. Not going to go any deeper into that.
Yeah, not going to go into opinion because there's a really long-winded opinion and just not going to go there. Just going to report the facts and we're going to move on because tying into awkward, painful situations, the Hardys. Oh, the Hardys. Okay, all right. So Matt Hardy came out earlier, I think last week, and stated that they had a deal with TNA Impact, saying that they were very, very close to getting the Broken Universe, which we saw a huge hint for it on Monday night, at which point Jeff Jarrett came out on a conference call later in the week and said, oh, hey, no, there is no agreement between Impact Wrestling and the Hardys for the Broken Universe, which sent Revy Sky into an absolute, or I should say Revy Hardy, into an absolute flutter of Twitter activity where she proceeded to go off and basically reveal the details of the deal, stating that, you know, they were supposed to get the Broken Universe for some unknown terms and that she actually had agreed to a Twitter no disclosure clause where basically she could not tweet about anything that was going on.
You cannot disparage the company via social media.
There we go. That's it. Well, obviously, they don't really have the deal because she was on Twitter disparaging them.
Well, technically, she did not disparage them.
She accuses them of lying. That's disparagement.
No, that's Jeff Jarrett, not the company. Two different things.
But still, it's obviously their whatever deal they had is a handshake deal. It's not a signed deal.
Okay, so earlier this week, last week they came to a verbal agreement of here are the rules, here we'll bye bye, here's what's being offered, we accept, yada yada yada. Anthem Sports and Entertainment, Ed Norholm and the like are still waiting to sign the contracts and have done this in the past where they wait and delay things. Second guess themselves, maybe change some things last minute. It is the reason why the Hardys are not with Impact Wrestling right now. That's sort of the deal, because they changed things last minute contracts. So, the Hardys are in the progress of obtaining it. We saw what happened on Monday night, where there were many references to
delete! Delete! Delete!
And the like, the premonitions, and what have yous. The brokenness. We heard Jeff Hardy do the fadeaway and classify himself as obsolete, which he can get away with. That's the one thing they can get away with. Wonder why?
Because it's not under IP.
Jeff Hardy wrote that. That's why. Jeff Hardy wrote that song. So he can sing it till his heart, as much as his heart desires. So that's the one thing they have. So yes, it is a work in progress. We'll see. Reason Revy went out and said he's a liar because Jeff Jarrett said there's no deal. Verbal deal, written up papers, unsigned papers. That's where we stand on the Broken Universe, as it were.
So there may be a deal, there may not be a deal, nobody's really sure, but they're still trying to get hold of it. So we'll see if they actually manage to do it. I more want to know what they're giving Impact Wrestling to get hold of it, but that's just me. And I'm sure that will come out at some point. Anyway, on a positive note, because I think we need a little positivity, Impact Wrestling announced that Bound for Glory will be on November 5th. So yay!
And they are looking to bring Lockdown back as a third pay-per-view next year.
All right, they're expanding back out.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome stuff.
That is some of the stuff that came out of the conference call with Jeff Jarrett on Wednesday.
All right. Do you want to do the Blame Brents, or do you want to do the other big story from last week?
Let's get the Blame Brents out of the way.
Okay.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulder snapping. It's this week's Injury Roundup.
Alrighty, so first things first, we have Primo Colon.
Hashtag blame Brent.
With an undisclosed injury?
Knee injury.
Undisclosed knee injury.
Not sure what he got hurt. Not sure what in the knee is hurt, but he's a knee injury, and he'll be out for a little bit of time.
Up next is Nixon Newell.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Who had to withdraw from the Mae Young Classic because of a torn ACL. That sucks.
She had surgery about 12 days ago.
That really sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Poor thing.
She was a late withdrawal from the tournament.
And last but certainly not least, the walking blame Brent, Kevin Nash.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Bless him, who had to have shoulder surgery.
Was it shoulder?
Yeah, I think it was.
Wait, was it shoulder surgery? She would know.
It was shoulder, it was knee, one of the two.
Went in for my left knee. There you go, left knee.
Oh, it was the left knee? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't keep up.
They all had knee injuries.
Brent, it's a theme. They all come in threes. There you go.
Brent was all after that. Who was the one? Tonya Harding did it, right? Back in the day. Brent did all Tonya Hardings this week.
He Tonya Harding them.
Well done, Brent. That was the injury roundup.
Moving on from there, we're going to talk about the other big story from last week, which is that, well, he has taken his pocket banana and gone home. That's right. Austin Aries has left WWE. This was a huge surprise. This is a big deal. He was not happy with the company, and I believe he asked for his release, and they granted it.
The conflicting reports on that. He may have asked for it, but they officially said he did not ask for it. We just released him. But he was very happy with the release, is the best way to put it.
Right.
Okay. If you know the career of Austin Aries, if he is not spotlighted the way he believes he should be spotlighted, he's very unhappy. He was not happy with the fact that he was left off the WrestleMania DVD. He was not happy he was pigeonholed as a 205 Live competitor. Valid reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they just spent 6 months straight pushing you. Yes, you did not get the big win, but you were still the focus on Raw and 205 Live in a heavy storyline with Neville for about 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, but then you go back down to the bottom of the roster and you sit and wait for your next shot at Neville. So I can see his point. And the cruiserweights are honestly, God love them, not doing that well. And so it's a question of how long WWE is going to keep it up before they just say, okay, enough is enough. Especially with the Brits doing a lot better than 205 Live and them getting their own show on the network that could translate into something onto the main roster product. You also now have the women's tournament, which is coming to prominence, and the women could do very well as well, which could lead to an expanded women's division, and something's going to have to give to expand out the women's division if that's the case, and well, that would be 205 Live, or could be 205 Live. So, I can see his point. It's not a strong position that he's in right now, if they're only having him there to be on 205 Live, because I think he obviously wants to be in the heavyweight division chase, he wants to be on the main show, he wants to be a part of the main roster, and that's not where he's at.
Yeah.
And I can see how it's like, you know, when he was in NXT, he was a part of the main roster. He wasn't put in this specific division. He was in the hunt for the World Heavyweight Championship.
He was in the hunt in NXT, but then he got hurt, and guess what? The biggest break he got him out of NXT was being injured. He became the commentator for 205 Live, and that moved him up to the main roster, because if he didn't get hurt, he may have never moved up to the main roster.
Yeah.
So it would have been one of those things. He would have then been unhappy if you say he was stuck in NXT. Again, Austin Aries is very fickle. He was 2-3 years ago, he was getting out of the business and then decided to stay.
Well, I mean, and he's also just released a book. And I think, honestly, that's why he stayed as long as he probably did, was, you know, to put the book out.
something to that effect. But yeah, it just can't always get what you want. But he got out of his contract. He will be free to do whatever he wants in 90 days. He can do independent some shows with WWE's approval in that time, but he can't do television shows like Impact Wrestling or Ring of Honor until October, whatever. He was scheduled, his contract was scheduled to end in 2019, I believe January of 2019, so he still had time left on that contract. So that's where we are at this point with Austin Aries. Sucks he's gone, but you always knew it would have been it was going to come to a head at some point with him just based on who he is and his personality. That's all.
Yeah, and it could be he made enough that he's happy and he's good to go. So Godspeed, Austin Aries. We wish you best of luck as you move forward with your future endeavors.
With your future endeavors, yeah.
We salute you. Speaking of being done, Kevin Kelly has officially left ROH, so he will no longer be commentating the show. This is, you know, something that happened a couple months ago, but now it is official. He's done.
He's not coming back. He came back for a few shows, and they've been trying to find replacements. But he's done to do other commitments and work with New Japan full-time.
So, ding! Moving on to just some random awesome news. This week, WWE revealed the second trailer for 2K18, which features Kurt Angle exploring the aftermath of the WWE archives after Seth Rollins burns it to the ground. What you don't see in the corner, you know, off camera, is the WWE archivist being cradled and hugged by the firefighters as, you know, he's looking on at his life's work just going up in smolders and ashes. The poor guy. Side note, if you saw Kathy Kelly and the archivist exploring the archives, there's a nice little shot, you know, in the beginning of that where he's walking around with a fire extinguisher and he references back to the Seth Rollins commercial. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Absolutely awesome. Well done. Well played. Anyway, we see a hooded figure exploring the wreckage, and it's revealed to be none other than Kurt Angle.
Because the only thing that survived the flames were his boots.
Well, they were buried under something, so, you know.
Still, that's the whole gimmick of the... He is the only survivor, which means he's back. Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
You know, honestly, after watching his special on the network, I don't want him to wrestle again. I don't. I am terrified of Kurt Angle wrestling again. Just solely based on the number of injuries he's had to his neck. It's like, honey, no, stop.
Yeah, by the way, that was an awesome special.
That is an awesome special. If you haven't seen it, go watch the Kurt Angle special. It is amazing. It's so well done.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very open and honest about a lot of his past, including the substance abuse. So, go check it out. And last...
By the way, you're welcome, Whit. Anyway, continue.
And last but certainly not least, we're going to end on a positive note because this is a positive campaign and you guys can help. Sami Zayn announced that for his birthday, he was creating the Sammy for Syria Fund, which is a fund to get a mobile clinic in Syria. He's attempting to raise $48,000, and I think the last check, he was approaching about $20,000, and I think it's an awesome cause.
He's up to $22,695.21. You can text Sammy for Syria to 71777 to donate, or you can go to mobilecause.com and search for Sammy for Syria. All the information is on his Twitter. I like Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
I always get confused what his Twitter is. So you can donate now. He's almost halfway towards his goal. He probably will be to that point here in the next few days. So go out, support it. It's a good cause. I mean, you got everyone supporting this cause, so go out and do it. The anonymous Raw General Manager, by golly, has donated money. You can too. Go to text Sammy for Syria to 71777.
And we should note Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and Finn Balor have all donated.
And who has donated the most?
It's a tie between Seth and Kevin, because Seth gave $5,000, so did Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Finn hasn't made the main roster money. He gave a little bit less, but he still showed love.
He did show some love as well, but that is probably... Okay, so for all the hatred on TV that they have for each other, they are the two best friends that ever lived.
Yeah, because I think it was, like, the first night, it's like you see Finn Balor's name, and it's like $100, and then you see Kevin's name with his wife, $5,000. It's like, oh, Kevin, you big softy, look at you. It was adorable.
Hey, again, text Sammy for Syria to 71777 to donate.
But on that note, I say we take our first break of the evening. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Alrighty, so when we come back, we are going to be talking all about WWE's inaugural Great balls of fire. We're going to tell you who won, who lost, and what we thought of the pay-per-view, so you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We'll be right back.
I don't play. I want to put it in. Girl, you better do what the soul say.
What is the greatest Sega video game of all time? CB Radio has decided.
Boom shakalaka! He's on fire!
It is a greater than great debate heard every Saturday night, midnight-ish Eastern on CB Radio, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sega!
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tuesday night, step inside the virtual realm with WTR Sims.
It's Boots the Asses time!
Watch as your favorite WTR personalities battle it out to find out which one truly is the best.
To be the man! You gotta beat the man!
Watch it live Tuesday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern at twitch.tv/rackradioshow. Or on demand at youtube.com/rackradioshow. Tuesday nights will never be the same again with WTR Sims.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hardy, and you are listening to The Rock Radio Show. Please tune in every chance you get. I find it absolutely wonderful.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was funny. You came along and moved me, honey. I've changed my mind, this love is mine. Goodness just great balls of fire. Kiss the baby.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Also, huge shout out to everybody listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, and WildTalkRadio.com. If you get a quick second in your day or tonight or whenever, go check out the fine folks over at FightBooth.com. They're amazing. They're awesome. We love them, and you will too. And well, as that music clearly indicates, we are going to be talking great balls of fire. I'm really sad that after tonight, we don't get to say that anymore. We have had such fun with this, and now it's over.
Greatest pay-per-view name of all time.
I mean, just the memes alone. Okay. God, WWE gave us a gift, and we are so grateful for that. And now they're screwing us with a Punjabi prison match. Damn it.
Okay, for anyone who hates the name Great Balls of Fire, there were pay-per-views named Beware of Dog.
And there was a Kennel from Hell match.
There was a pay-per-view named Revenge of Taker. Like,
well, he needed a whole damn pay-per-view to exact his revenge, damn it.
I understand this, but Great Balls of Fire is a better name than that. Just saying. So, anyway, Great Balls of Fire was on the WWE Network this past Sunday night.
And the drag queens have not reviewed it yet. Damn it. By the way, we don't normally give shout-outs to other shows, but nobody's watching wrestling. Just go watch it. it's one of the greatest things you'll ever see, aside from us, because we're amazing.
That's a great YouTube series.
It's a great YouTube series. It's two drag queens watching wrestling and talking wrestling. And it's a completely... And when I say they're talking wrestling, I mean they're talking who's wearing underwear, who's not, and who's got a floppy dick. Yes. Not even kidding. It will leave... It's just all things amazing. And I love it and adore it so much. And why haven't they talked about this pay-per-view yet? Because they're going to have so much fun. Anyway, sorry. Tangent, we're back. We're going to talk Great Balls of Fire.
Cruiserweight title is on the line in the opening contest on the pre-show, Neville versus Tozawa. Someone who was just released was not mentioned in all the people Neville's beat recently. Imagine that.
Handy how that happens.
Mm-hmm. The match had good false finishes, and it is Great Balls of Fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the ending had to involve balls, right?
Of course.
And we learned tonight Tozawa's balls aren't that great. Neville wins.
Yeah, poor Tozawa. That just was not nice. For shame, Neville.
Mm-hmm. He got caught up in the ropes and then he kicked him low, and yep. Tozawa does not have great balls.
He has swollen balls. So, it was a solid contest.
The match was fine. Nothing too crazy. The 8-Ball is the only one to pick Tozawa.
Because we all know. We just all know.
We all just really know at that point. The intro package from the drive-in was awesome.
Oh my god, I loved it so much. I will say this, that the graphics for this, whoever did the graphics, especially the cars, was so on point.
Mm-hmm.
That person needs a raise. Really, really, really bad. Because what they did for this was so pretty. I loved all the little car logos that they created, and they put the names on the cars and everything like that, and all the throwback stuff. That was great. Absolutely fantastic. But yeah, so funny story, all right? So Sunday night, I'm on vacation. It's... 8 o'clock at night, pay-per-view's getting ready to start, and we'd had a rather awkward day, so we were back at the hotel early, and I was like, oh, hey, I can watch Great Balls of Fire, because, we're not doing anything else tonight, and we had gone to dinner, so, I missed, the first 20 minutes of the pay-per-view. I get back, I'm thinking, and I'm looking at Twitter, I'm like, oh, hey, what did I miss? Damn it. I look at what the opening contest is. Damn it. Of course, I miss it, and who's the opening contest? Battle of the Sluts, Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins. So pissed. So, so pissed.
Well, talk about the match.
The match was fantastic. These two have beautiful chemistry together. I love them. I love them together. I have no idea what they're fighting about, but I don't really care because they have such a great, great chemistry in the ring together.
Mm-hmm.
They work really well together. They complement each other really well. I really enjoyed this match. They went all out. They knew they were the opening contest, so they set the bar high with this match. It's actually probably one of the best matches Bray's had in a really long while.
Singles matches,
yeah.
You could tell in both guys they were determined to have a really good match. The fire intensity was there. Seth Rollins looks healthy for the first time in months, where his legs are finally underneath him, at least to me. I thought this match was good. I thought there was good intensity. I like Bray doing the running shoulder block, sending him into the barricade. That was a cool spot. I enjoyed this match. I like how Bray got up in his face and was screaming at him, "Get up and fight me!" And you heard the slap across the face, and he said, "This is what a god looks like." And then about a minute and a half later, he pokes him in the eye and gets the win.
And a lot of people were pissed about the finish. It's like, honestly, Bray's the heel. He should cheat. And it wasn't really even that hard of an eye jab.
No, he didn't hit the Sister Abigail, I believe, for the win.
Yeah, it's like he just stunned him long enough to be able to hit the Sister Abigail and pick up the victory. So it's like Bray cheated, but for, 99% of that match, he took it to Seth and Seth took it to him. It's just Bray was able to outsmart him. So the winner of the Battle of the Sluts and the head slut of Monday Night Raw is Bray Wyatt.
Imagine that. He won a match on pay-per-view. Oh my god, is that a thing? Did he actually win a match?
And then he reinforced it on Monday Night Raw.
Bringing his total to 93, 61, and 6 on pay-per-view and television. Not the bogus number people are throwing out there of, oh my god, house show matches. House show matches don't count in overall numbers, especially for heels. Wonder why? Heels always lose. That's what they do on house shows. He's a heel. He loses. So this whole thing of, you know, narrative people are putting out there is wrong, stupid, and incorrect. Bray Wyatt actually wins. He does win them. He doesn't win the big final conclusive matches. He doesn't win a WrestleMania. Guess what? Not everyone wins a WrestleMania. No one's the not everyone's the Undertaker. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my mini rant on that. People need to change the narrative. Bray actually wins. And wins convincingly sometimes, too. I mean, he won the WWE title this year on pay-per-view. He won the House of Horrors match this year. He just beat Seth Rollins on pay-per-view. So let's say on pay-per-view he beat people in the chamber, including pinning John Cena and AJ Styles, correct?
Correct.
He won the House of Horrors over Randy Orton, and now he beat Seth Rollins. Four big names on pay-per-view in 1 year. Just saying.
Do you feel better?
Yeah. I'm not as aggravated by it as I was on Sunday. I was really aggravated on Sunday. If you want to hear my full-on rant, go to listen to Russell Talk Radio from Sunday night. I was in a really ranting mood about that one. Anyway,
Matt, me calling him head slut is nice. You did not hear me what I called him on Monday night when we were not on the air. I have another nickname for him that I cannot share on the air.
It's not a kosher nickname.
It is not a kosher nickname at all.
The 8-ball and video game pick Seth Rollins. So there you go. Anything else you want to add about that match?
It was so good. And I had to watch it the next day. After I got home from vacation, that's the first thing I did is I sat down and watched Bray Wyatt versus Seth Rollins, and it was so worth it. Because it was so good. Like I said, no idea what they're feuding over. I don't care because the matches are epic. Please continue. Please play through. Thank you. Anyway, up next, the match that has some interesting developments behind it that we're really not going to get into right now, but needless to say, somebody pissed somebody off backstage and somebody may or may not have heat. Not entirely sure what's going on with it, but it could have been the reason for this match, which was Enzo Amore versus Colin Cassidy, the final breakup.
The final breakup. Okay.
It's the finality to the breakup. You know, it's like your first cast kicks him in the face, and he kicks him in the face again, and I think he throws him off the stage, and now they're going to have the match where, you know, Enzo dies, because that's essentially what happened. Enzo died, and Cass wins.
So Cass trumped Enzo?
Nice. Yes. Well played. Well done.
Thank you. This match was everything you thought it was going to be. Cass beat on Enzo. Enzo beat a 10 count, ate a big boot, lost. No real surprise. But that's not the story we need to talk about. They had, what, 6 weeks? End of May? Since they started the storyline of the breakup?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they give us? That awful music? That awful Tron?
They had to throw it together last minute.
They had 6 weeks.
They threw it together last minute.
They had 6 weeks.
I know, but still.
They had 6 weeks. It was awful. The music is downright awful.
Well, to be fair, I don't think they really know who Cass is yet. Like, that's part of the problem, is they're just like, okay, well, we need to come up with music for Cass. What's his character? I don't know, just come up with something. So they came up with the most generic thing they could for him, because they have no idea what he's doing yet. I think they're still trying to figure that all out after Enzo. And then on top of it, it's like Enzo got the really, really, really good music.
Because Enzo sings the music.
Because Enzo sings the music, so Enzo gets to keep it. And it can't, so Cass's new themes can't invoke what Enzo's is. Otherwise, it's just, you know, all kinds of awkward. So, yeah, they just were like, okay, well, we'll just give Cass this because reasons.
Okay, that was one thing. But again, the graphics could match the tone of the music, and the graphics don't match even the tone of the music.
Last minute.
They had 6 weeks.
Last minute.
They had 6 weeks.
They probably didn't get the music until a couple weeks ago, which means they then had to get the graphics made, or they made the graphics before they made the music.
They had 6 weeks.
And they probably were not talking to each other when they did all this.
They had 6 weeks.
Not talking to each other, I almost promise you.
The graphics department and the music department should talk to each other in 6 weeks.
I don't think they did. I think they told the graphics department one thing, I think they told the music department another thing, and this is what happened. But they can fix it.
They had 6 weeks.
What they really should have done is giving Cass the old NXT Tron. That's what they should have done.
No, that would have been worse.
But you just update the fonts, it'll be fine.
Do they really know how to update a font?
No, no. The people in NXT who do the Trons do not know how to update fonts. For the love of God, y'all. There are more fonts than Myriad. Please explore them. Thank you.
This brings us back to the old favorite. What the font?
What the font? Every time. Every goddamn time. Everybody either has Myriad or Arial. One of the two. It's the most irritating goddamn thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like, would you just change the font? Font Squirrel is your friend. And if you don't like Font Squirrel, for the love of God, Google Fonts. They're free. And there's a billion of them.
Once again, what the font?
I'm sorry. He gets me going. I have to rant. Anyway.
Video game picked Enzo.
I think we all picked Cass, right?
That's why I'm only saying, yeah. Video game only picked.
So moving on. What was next?
Oh, what was next on this show? By the way, you are tuned into The Rock right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. As we're about to go 30 minutes for the Iron Man match for the tag team titles. Cesaro and Sheamus taking on the Hardy Boys. I enjoyed this one.
I thought this was good. I thought this was really good. You had Sheamus and Cesaro jump out to an early lead.
20 seconds in.
20 seconds in, and then I think a couple minutes in, they were very proud of themselves. The Hardys caught up at one point. Sheamus and Cesaro pulled ahead again. I like that you had a lot of falls. I think there were about 4 or 5 falls total.
Seven?
There were 7 total? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that everybody, or is that just Sheamus and Cesaro?
7 falls total. It was 4-3 final.
Okay, so you had about 4 falls for the win, which I liked. That, you know, in 30 minutes you can get 4 falls, so that's good. Like, I hate when they do a low number of falls in an Iron Man match, because it's just like, oh, man.
I did not like the fall in 20 seconds in.
They had to get it out of the way.
But they didn't need to do it 20 seconds in. Made Hardy look weak. It was Cesaro and Sheamus' first 2 falls. Hardy's got the 3rd. Sheamus and Cesaro got the 4th. Hardy's got the 5th. Looked like they got the 6th with a moonsault, but it was not a 3, but everyone heard it was a 3 because somebody, Cesaro, was late.
Yeah.
Hardy's got the 6th fall, 27 minutes in with a top rope twist of fate by Matt Hardy on Sheamus. And then things got bloody. They do a double splash spot by the Hardys onto 2 Sheamus. And when Matt comes down, he bonks heads with Sheamus. And Matt is bloody.
And this is the first match of the night with blood.
The final fall came within less than 30 seconds. Cesaro and Sheamus picked up the win after Jet hit the Swanton, but Cesaro came in, who got the blind tag that they did not point out, and stole the pin, and then he ran out of the ring, stalled some time for 10 seconds, and twist of fate at the buzzer. Cesaro and Sheamus retain. I would have ended on the steel finish, and had that been the final 5 seconds. But that's
I was okay with it.
But that's the only change I would have made to it.
I was honestly fine with the finish. I mean, it didn't bother me either way. I was really surprised that Sheamus and Cesaro won. Really, genuinely surprised, because I thought for sure that they were going to put the belts back on the Hardys.
Especially with Sheamus going to film a movie. I thought he was going to drop it, but I guess he's going to be around enough, so.
Yeah, I guess he's not doing house shows or whatever, so they'll have him for TV.
Looks like they'll have him for at least all the TVs at this point, so.
Because if you think about it, it makes sense. He's only doing 1 TV day a week, so. He can be there on a Monday, and he can go shoot the other 6 days if he needs to.
And he probably doesn't have a huge role in it, so he can probably do it in a few days. His role can be done probably in a few days.
Yeah.
But it was just curious. I really thought they would drop the belts back, but we're going in a different broken direction.
I was going to say, will this break the Hardys?
It appears it's starting to.
There's cracks.
The video game was the only one to pick Sheamus and Cesaro.
Yeah, we all picked the Hardys because we all honestly thought, you know, okay, you know, all right, well, Rebby's had the baby, Matt and Jeff are there full time, Sheamus is going to film a movie.
Mm-hmm. So, this was enjoyable.
This was really good. I really enjoyed this match. It's probably the best match that the 2 of them have had.
4 of them have had.
Well, 2 teams.
2 teams, yeah.
That's what I meant, but 4 people have had. Yet.
Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks for the women's title. Thoughts?
This was so good. And points. Points for the last one, but points. Because this was the second match where we had blood.
Yeah, we had a little bit of blood in this one. I thought this was the best match in a while for Alexa Bliss and Sasha Banks. They had great chemistry. This is what happens when you give the women time and let them, you know, wrestle.
This is what happens when you put 2 women that genuinely don't like each other in the ring together.
That too, and there was no stupid poll involved.
Yeah, no poll. This was just the 2 of them going back and forth, going at it. They were very physical with each other. It just a lot of back and forth, a lot of just physicality in this that was really, really, really good.
Can we talk about Alexa's arm?
Oh my god, everybody was like freaking out about that, where she did the double-jointed trick with her elbow where it basically hangs there all limp, like looking out of place. And everybody felt like they kind of wasted that spot. And I can see where they did, but it's like she's done it before.
She did it with the feud with Becky.
So it's just been a while for it. And she pulled that out. I was like, oh God. My mom was actually like halfway sitting there watching it with me. And she's like, what the hell happened to her arm? I'm like, Things happened. She'll be fine. See, and then she, like, at that point, she snapped her arm up. She's like, see, she's fine.
Twisted Bliss got blocked into the bank statement at that point.
And then, well, Alexa bailed.
Yeah, she bailed out of that one. But it was a nice, nice block into the bank statement. She crawled, she got to the ropes. And then, like, she was going to get back in the ring, but she slapped Sasha Banks, and I was like, I'm just gonna bail out and just keep my belt.
That's what champions advantage.
Then Sasha was like, girl, you ain't going nowhere. And she went up, they brawled on the ramp, they got up on the announce table. Sasha was gonna get dropped with a DDT, but Alexa got thrown off. And then Sasha did double knees off the announce table down onto Alexa Bliss. I like that. I like the spot.
It was a great spot. It looked awesome, and she actually, like, hit Alexa's nose hard enough that she got a little blood. She had a little bloody nose, so it's taking the feud to the next level, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
It's the right amount of violence from the babyface, where she's kind of had enough. She's hit her breaking point, and it's like, all right, fine, you want to do this, let's do this, and she beats the crap out of Alexa. And then she stands tall over Alexa. Like this. I like this a lot.
I thought it was really good. The 8-ball and the video game had Sasha Banks winning.
Points?
Kind of points for you. You got a couple points out of it. Not as much as you could have.
Hey, a canceled out point is better than a negative 12.
That is true. Intercontinental titles on the line, The Miz versus Dean Ambrose.
For the love of God, can this feud end?
No.
Please, can this feud end? On the side note, Bo Dallas's pay-per-view fashion. Bo, honey, what the hell? What the hell? Like, I appreciate him going all out and doing the biker thing and dressing the part, but for a second it looked like he was trying so hard not to look like his brother, yet he was trying to look like his brother. It was kind of ridiculous. And what made it worse was there's Curtis Axel in his 3-piece suit with his hair slicked back. It honestly looked like Bo and Curtis had just come from court. It seriously did. Like, they had the first court date last Monday where Bo was in the suit and he had to appear, and then now they went back to get the verdict and Bo was found not guilty, so they came to the show and they were there to just mess stuff up. Like, it's just like, what? What? I don't even know what to do with it. I like it. It's just Bo's fashion choices. Somebody needs to talk to Bo about his fashion choices, because they're not just, he can't dress himself at all. But he's trying. And I appreciate it. As you can tell, I paid more attention to Bo Dallas and Curtis Axel than I did this match.
The matchup felt like a TV match. That's all it really was. It was a middle of the Monday Night Raw match. That's all it really was. Nothing special. You had interference from the Miz Rise. We now learn the kicks are now called It Kicks for whatever reason. They're no longer Yes Kicks. They're It Kicks. He's the It, the, you know, the
he's
It Couple.
The It Factor.
No, they're the It Couple. There's a glorious one that's the It Factor. Anyway, skull-crushing finale for the win. Miz retains. This is where I say points. By the way, I need to go backwards for a minute. In a few matches, all right?
Okay.
Neville versus Tozawa. Neville won, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was Omega has Tozawa, so that's lost what, number one. Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt. He has Seth Rollins. That's lost what, number two?
Mm-hmm.
He has Enzo and Cass. Lost number three for Team Omega at that point.
And then Dean Ambrose. Lost number four. Who has Sasha?
Tim has Sasha.
Okay. This is not a good night for the plan.
Speaking of the plan, it was the ambulance match. No, before we get to that, A-Ball's the only one who picked Ambrose. Anyway, now it's the ambulance match featuring Roman Reigns on Team Omega against Braun Strowman. Okay, this was fun. This was a lot of fun. I liked all the physicality. It was good. Braun Strowman runs into every single ring post whenever he sees a ring post. It's like, I want to hug it, so I'm just going to run into it all the time. That's his move. That's his only one move, running into a ring post. I like the spot where he no-sold the chair shot in the arm.
That was awesome.
Like, the look on Roman's face was like, crap. Yep, I'm dead. They fall on the ramp. We redid the Monday Night Raw spot where Roman got tossed inside the ambulance. We got, back up on the stage, and, Braun goes through the LED light, the LED boards, which is a fun spot. We get back to an ambulance.
They
broke the set. That cost some money. Then we're fighting by the ambulance, and then Braun has the backboard, and he's trying to wail Roman with it? Okay. Roman Reigns is wearing a chest protector with padding on the front and the back. So hitting him with a backboard that doesn't do very much won't do any good to him when he's wearing a goddamn chest protector.
I promise you, if you hit him hard enough, he'll feel it.
But you can't hit hard with that tiny little backboard. Just saying.
It's not that tiny. It just looks tiny next to Braun.
Okay, it just didn't look like it hurt any.
Oh, I bet he felt that. I bet that hurt.
It didn't look like it. Anyway, Roman went, oh my god, Braun was running into things the entire time. What can I do? I'm going to run into something. He runs right into the ambulance. Braun wins.
Which, again, was really surprising that Braun wins.
Another loss for Team Omega.
And this is where things got a little...
murderous.
Murderous. Well, that's a great word. So, okay. Before we go into this, there has been a lot of discourse on this where there's been a back and forth between both sides, which is pro-Roman and anti-Roman, in terms of how this segment went. We're kind of middle of the road here. We're not against him. But we're not really for him, mainly because I'm personally confused on whether I should cheer or boo him. I have no idea what to do with him. I like him. I think he's pretty to look at, but that's about as far as I go with him. So, this moment. Roman loses the match to Braun, and he snaps.
Sore loser, Roman.
Well, okay. In his defense, it's like he has this guy beating him up, right? He challenges him to match after match after match, and Roman keeps losing to Braun. Braun has got Roman's number, and Roman can't beat him. So Roman's frustrated. He's had enough. You know, it's like, okay, well, he got rid of Braun. He was gone for 6 weeks. Everything was copacetic in Roman's world, and then Braun comes back. Braun beats him up and beats him in an ambulance match, and Roman can't stand that.
Hold
okay,
on.
Fine.
Hold on. No. No. I'm going to cut you off. Why was Braun Strowman out? Because Roman Reigns injured him after he lost. He was a sore loser. He came back and went after an injured body part. A
just
heel.
A minute. It's a
heel move. I'm just saying.
Yes, the whole thing was a heel move. But, just hold on. Calm your tit. Hold on. Right? Giving him the benefit of the doubt. I'm playing a little devil's advocate here. Just chill. So, Roman snaps.
Spear out of the ambulance.
He spears out of the ambulance. He beats the ever-living crap out of Braun, which does Braun no favors because he's just come back. He's beaten Roman Reigns, and they completely invalidate the victory for Braun by having Roman beat him up. And if you had stopped it there, that would have been fine.
Still a sore loser, but continue.
He's still a sore loser, but it's on par with what Sasha did to Alexa. So it's like, okay, all right, you know, Roman loses. He's kind of being a little bit of a sore loser, but he snaps, you know, good guy Roman, where he's supposed to be the babyface. He has enough, yada, yada, yada. It all ties together. It all looks fine. It's not anything out of the ordinary.
But Sasha had a valid reason, or Roman didn't.
Yes, I know that. But again, it's on par with the level of violence that's already occurred. So, it's fine. Unfortunately, they did not stop there. They then have Roman get Braun in the back of the ambulance. Roman drives off with the ambulance. He drives it backstage. He backs it up, and then he goes at ramming speed into the back of one of the semis and crushes the back of the ambulance, which is, in reality, probably at least, at the very, very least, attempted murder, if not actual murder. But this is WWE land, and nobody ever dies, so it's just attempted murder. This was a bit much. I'm not gonna lie. Even for somebody who's fed up. Even for somebody who's had enough.
Good guy Roman Reigns decides to murder someone on live television. Yep, he's your face of your company.
You know, to me it's like, if Braun had pushed him to that point, I can see him doing it. But there's no push from Braun to justify that level of violence, especially seeing as Braun just came back. Now, if Braun had not gotten hurt, this would make a little bit more sense because the feud escalated, and it escalated to a point where Roman felt he had no other choice. But there was no explanation offered from Roman in terms of why he did what he did. He just literally rammed the ambulance into the back of the truck and then proceeded to run away. Or limp away, in this case, because he injured himself in doing the act. Then the police get called out, and the police come out, and they have to cut, in quotations, Braun out of the ambulance with the jaws of life.
Okay. Props to Jamie Noble for being an amazing Emmy winner right here.
Yes, somebody get that man an award.
He should get an Emmy or at least a Slammy for best performance. Because his concern level for Braun Strowman was amazing. The man tried to murder someone, he should be arrested. That's the facts of the story. It was attempted murder. You can say pushing over the ambulance is sort of that. Yes and no. But this, as a babyface, is over the line. And the dismissive attitude about it on Raw just proves the point that he's a bad guy. And he's not a good guy. He's a bad guy. He's not the guy. He's a bad guy. We need to get over this. WWE needs to realize this. Because guess what? Lindsay, what did you say about this matchup? What about Roman Reigns?
What are your thoughts? I don't know what to do.
That's the problem with Roman Reigns. You don't know what he is. And just to say, oh, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a bad guy, I'm just the guy, will never be the point. You need to feel something for the man, whether it's good or bad. That's the only way to care. It's the only way to get him over. You have to give him a side to be on. He cannot ride the damn fence. It doesn't work for him.
Yeah, having him be a tweener, it's like, okay, fine, he's a tweener. Technically, Ambrose is a tweener, but he tweens over to the role of face right now.
But Roman,
he can flip that switch and he can easily go
heel. But Roman's not a tweener. He's a face, according to them. But every action is heel.
Yeah, I mean, it's the way that they're writing him. This is not Roman Reigns' fault. We're not blaming Roman Reigns for this. This is more the writers and how they're booking him, where it's like, they want him to be a good guy. They want him to be cheered. At least I think that's what they want. But they book him as a heel. They book him as a bad guy. Ramming an ambulance into the back of the truck is honestly on par with, like, Heidenreich running over the hearse with Taker's in the back.
You know, Hulk Hogan, you know, the great Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, when he came back to WWE in 2002, what did he do with the semi-truck? Oh, yeah, it got rammed into the rock in an ambulance. They ran away from the scene of crime, but here's the difference. When they did that move, the NWO, they were heels.
Yeah, every time. Anytime you do something to that extent, that it's that excessive, it's never a babyface that does it. It's always a heel that does it. You never see a babyface get pushed that far that they literally attempt murder.
You know what happened when Rikishi attempted murder and everyone found out?
He did it for The Rock. He did it for the people.
But he went from a babyface to a...
heel.
Correct.
I mean, I get what they tried to do with Roman, where it's like it's this big blow-off between Roman and Braun, but it's not really. I mean, and it's just, it's like there was no punishment. There was no action on Angle's part. What does Roman get? He rams, he does what he does to Braun Strowman, and then he gets a title opportunity.
A chance.
That is the wrong message to send.
Exactly. What does Braun Strowman get? Nothing.
And I've seen people defending it by saying, oh, well, you know, well, if Roman's a babyface and what, or, you know, the face of the company and a role model, then, you know, what about New Day? They're babyfaces and they're role models of the company, but they, all they do is tell dick jokes. There's a big difference between a dick joke and trying to kill somebody. I'm sorry. There is. This was beyond excessive. This was completely unneeded. It was completely uncalled for. I get why they did it, but it's just like, this was just too much. And what made it worse is while this is going on, right, while they're trying to pry Braun Strowman out of the back of this ambulance, they send out Zack Ryder and Heath Slater.
Wrong.
Wrong one. Kurt Hawkins and Heath Slater for a match nobody really sees.
Which is fine because, again, this is a distracted crowd. I thought that was good. I thought it was. I like the fact that they were all put there, both, like, you know, not in, really in their gear, sort of in their gear. Heath Slater was taping his fist, and Hawkins wasn't ready or anything like that. I like the impromptu nature of it. And it apparently, the match ended with the greatest move never to be seen. Heath Slater won with a Canadian destroyer off the top rope onto Kurt Hawkins for the win that no one ever saw.
Which is awesome that they just made that up. But, you know, you feel bad for them, right? Because it's like they get on pay-per-view, but they don't get on pay-per-view, and nobody sees the match because all we're seeing is Braun Strowman being cut out of this ambulance. And then when they do cut him out, he's covered in blood, he stumbles off, and he was not seen Monday night.
But the best part about him stumbling off was the convenient white truck bus right there.
That for him to smear his blood all over.
Smear his blood on, yeah.
Yeah, I will say this. Okay, as excessive as it was, as just way too much as it was. The production value of this, how they shot this, how they directed this, how everybody acted, all of it was perfectly done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, props to whoever wrote and directed this, because this was really well shot, really well done. It was way the hell too much for the angle. Way the hell too much, but the production values were spot on. And Jamie Noble needs an award. That's the positive I'm taking away from this, is Jamie Noble, get that man an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, damn, he was, like, legit concerned. You had Jamie Noble, like, running up to the ambulance, all concerned for Braun, and he's trying to pry the ambulance open with his fingers. Like, he can't get it open, and he's trying to get to Braun. And he's all concerned, and he's calling the authorities, and he's doing this, and he's doing that. And it's like, oh, bless Jamie Noble's little heart. Bless him so much. Because he's adorable.
Matt Goldberg was the only one to pick Strowman.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like, everybody thought, okay, it's an ambulance match. It's a blow-off match. They're heading into SummerSlam next. Roman's gonna get Brock. You don't have Roman lose ahead, you know, when he's headed in for Brock. And I understand, again, it's like, okay, so you're pointing Roman at Brock, but you can't have Braun lose to Roman, so you have Braun win the match, but then Roman beats him up and invalidates the victory. So it's a 50-50 thing. Again, beating up Strowman and throwing him in the back of the ambulance was just, that's all you needed to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all you needed to do, and then you have Roman Reigns stand tall over Braun Strowman.
Nope, we went to murder. Attempted murder.
Attempted murder. Like, I mean, it was what it was. All right, it's not Roman Reigns' fault. I'm just going to say that. Not hating on Roman Reigns, because it's not Roman Reigns' fault. It's the way they wrote it. It's just, it was too much. It was way the hell too much. Because you're just sitting there and you're like, oh crap, they're going to go, oh god, they're going to go there. Okay. Alright. I mean, it's like, if Roman Reigns is supposed to be heel, it's a fantastic heel move. It was perfect. But Braun's supposed to be the bad guy. And Roman's supposed to be the good guy. And it's like, so wait, you just had the good guy, the hero, kill somebody, or try to kill somebody and run off. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good storytelling. That's not. Because now it's, okay, well, the good guy is the bad guy. Now the bad guy is the good guy. Wait, what? Like, it just, it was really confusing. And it just, it made on whether, you know, who Roman Reigns is supposed to be that much more confusing. Because, like, do I cheer him? Do I boo him? Like, what do I do with him? I don't even know.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of fans are. Like, there are some people who love him and they cheer him, and that's awesome. There are some people who hate him. They boo him. That's awesome. But I think there are a lot of people that are middle of the row that are like, well, yeah, I kind of like him. He's okay. You know, he's pretty to look at. He's a good wrestler. But, you know, it's like, well, he's kind of a jerk. You know, he rammed Braun Strowman into the back of a truck in an ambulance. And then he left. It's like, eh. That's not really a thing a good guy would do.
Nope.
Again, he's not a good guy, he's not a bad guy, he's just a guy. But I feel like they need to decide what kind of guy they want him to be. If you want him to be a heel, be a heel. If you want him to be a face, for the love of God, book him as a face. But figure it out, because this was way too much.
Main event time?
Main event time!
Universal titles, Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar, yo.
Oh boy. Well, the match started out really, really, really hot. Like, really hot. We had a fight before the bell ever got rung between Joe and Brock. The ref had to break it up. They had to go to their respective corners.
But no, it wasn't even that. It was before that. He put him through the table, the announce table.
He did. That's right, he did.
And then he got back up and kept them apart. And then they started the match after that. So it was a good 5 minutes before that of just brawling and stuff. And Joe just killing him. Which got Joe's going to kill you chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes through the Kukina clutch a few times. We had suplex city time. There was like six Germans. We had some low blows. More Kukina clutches. Brock turned purple. F5. Over.
I was not a fan of the finish of this match. Did not like the way that they did this. I feel like you should have had Joe kick out of it. And...
Or at least escape it.
And it takes Brock a couple tries to hit the F5 on Joe. Because while you did the great first 5 minutes of the match, while you had good offense, good back and forth during the match, it's like, because they ended it, it just ended very abruptly. It felt very awkward. Like, there was no, it's like the match is going along, it's going fine, it's going good. And then all of a sudden, boom, F5, it's over. And you just sit there and you're like, wait, what?
The positives, they established that a finisher is actually a finisher, which is smart, which is what they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But he should have escaped it, not, you know, kicked out, because kicking out just defeats the purpose of establishing the finish as the, you know, knockout blow. I just think they should have done more escapes and had Joe continue to get the clutch on, to get the clutch on, and Brock fight his way out of it, and then eventually hit the F5 and, you know, just a sigh of relief and, like, he escaped. That should have been it. And it was only 6 minutes long. Should have been a few more minutes longer.
Yeah, it was a really awkward, abrupt ending. That was my whole thing, because it's just like, oh, wait, it's over? That's it? It's over?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, I mean, and to me, it's like, I want the Brock and Joe feud to continue, which it kind of did Monday night, when Joe walked out there and he was like, sup, bitch.
Right, pretty much, yeah. That's sort of how they want
it. I love Joe. I love him so much.
So we all picked Brock Lesnar, and I thought the match overall was fun. It was a lot of fun.
I feel like the finish could have been better, like I said, but yeah. I mean, the match itself, both the pre-match and the actual match were good. They have fantastic chemistry together. They just beat the crap out of each other. There was no wrestling. It was just pure back and forth, pure fisticuffs, just violence. It was awesome. I need more of it.
The entire show was awesome. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun 3 hours.
Yeah, it didn't really drag, which was nice.
Yeah, Matt Goldberg went 6-2. Me, you, and the video game went 5-3, and the 8-ball went 3-5.
Damn, Matt. Coming on our own show and showing us up.
I know, right?
God, who does he think he is?
He's Mr. MBG1211 at Instagram.com/MBG1211.
Yep, and well, this is normally where we would take our second and final break of the evening, but we're running long, so we're not going to take the break. Instead, Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Alrighty. Trent Seven. It's Trent Seven Day. Send gifts, or come to Attack Wrestling with nice things, or don't. You'll still be blessed in my eyes.
So does he want gifts or gifts, G-I-Fs?
Gifts. Gifts.
Because it's easier just to send them gifts.
Well, you can do that.
I'm just pointing it out.
As we all know, Kevin Owens lost the U.S. title to AJ Styles over the weekend, and he posted the following. Kevin Owens, my Twitter account is blacked out to represent the future of the U.S. now that the United States title is held by a terrible human being. The United States of America deserve a champion they can be proud of. Someone good, someone kind, someone with dignity. That someone is me. Drew Gulak, if anyone is meant to portray the hero of the people like Aladdin, it's me. Mustafa Ali is not at all qualified for that role. To which Mustafa Ali replied, wrong role, Drew Farr. And there's a bad Photoshop job of Drew Gulak as Jafar. It's amazing. Nathan Legend tweeted, Arya Daivari should get the role of Aladdin. He already flies on a magic carpet. This movie casts itself. Hashtag fly chic fly. And it's a picture of Arya on the magic carpet. And Arya goes, eat it, Mustafa Ali. And that's all I got.
Okay. Kevin Owens, I'd like to apologize to everyone for hashtag talking smack. I can't be on every single week. I just can't. GFW Creative, Wyatt's graphics didn't screw up like he did his marriage.
Ouch.
James Ellsworth, Matt Hardy's face has been broken by Sheamus. Vince McMahon googling, if you're injured in back of an ambulance, shouldn't you just stay in there? Vince McMahon googling, is it legal to try to kill someone in an ambulance? These are all very valid questions.
The answer to the last one is yes.
Natty goes, there will be no tea and no booze tonight in Laredo. At Becky Lynch and at Charlotte. Becky goes, we'll see about that. I have the kettle on as we speak. Natty goes, hit me with your best shot, Becky. Becky goes, I'll hit you with a kettle full of boiling water. Ty Dillinger, crafty win, Miz. Now how about you swing by SmackDown Live sometime soon? Miz goes, why, so I can watch you perform in the opening dark match? Hashtag IC title comeback tour. Ty Dillinger goes, you'd watch? Wait, do you need to steal more moves? Besides, I work magic in the dark. Just ask your wife.
Ty!
Chris Cyborg, if you're smart at Triple H, don't let Becky Lynch anywhere near the ring with me. Ireland can't handle another star losing this summer. Becky Lynch replied, are you sure Dana would let you? Seeing as he doesn't seem to let you do much else. Taking shots.
Damn, Becky. Damn.
Kevin Nash went in for my left knee, ended up with a lobotomy, feeling really calm, not a care in the world. Thought seven sponge baths was excessive. You think, Kevin? You think? Justin Karp. I was 3 feet away from Michelle Obama, and now I understand superhero movies. Hashtag ESPYs. That's Tweet of the Week.
All right, well, SmackDown Throwdown.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to
this week's SmackDown Throwdown.
Yes! 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 Yes!
The push is on for Battleground.
Okay, there's a few things that we need to address from this show.
Okay.
The first, the Punjabi prison is coming next week to SmackDown Live. That's a thing.
Why are they not doing it on the pay-per-view?
They are, but Jinder's just bringing it with him next week.
Oh, okay. He's
showcasing it next week.
Yay.
He wants to get kinky early. He's still doing the same awful, boring promos that he has been doing for 6-7 weeks now. New material, dude. New material. He beat Ty Dillinger.
Poor Ty.
Sami Zayn got all caught up in the love of Maria and Mike Kanellis.
He took a vase to the head for it.
He did take a vase to the head for it. We had a Chad Gable appearance. The women are going to be in a 5-way elimination match at Battleground for a shot at Naomi's title. The women are Natty, Charlotte, Becky, Tamina, and Lana.
I'm okay with this. 100% fine with this.
I'm tired of people saying Lana hasn't earned anything. Lana has earned a lot of things. She's been training her ass off, so stop bitching about Lana, people.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. I think I've already said this, but I don't remember. I've drank a lot since then. The only reason Lana got the title shot against Naomi is because there was literally nobody else on that roster for Naomi to fight. All the other women on the main roster on SmackDown were in Money in the Bank. They wanted to get Naomi on the pay-per-view. Lana was there. That's why Lana got the shot.
But I'm seeing more people just say Lana hasn't earned anything. Yes, she has, so stop it. Lana's earned her spot. She's working.
Lana went down to NXT. Lana has trained.
Stop. Just stop the hate. It's not necessary.
Just, it's like, I get everybody's pissed that she got a title match in her very first outing, but again, she didn't really get a choice in that. There was literally nobody else for Naomi to fight. Unless you wanted to pull, say, Tamina out of the Money in the Bank match and you put Lana in the Money in the Bank match. Or you wanted to pull somebody else out of the Money in the Bank match and put them against Naomi.
Pretty much.
Somebody who's, quote-unquote, earned their spot more. So just lay off Lana, okay? Just lay off her. Enough is enough. I get if y'all aren't happy with her. The character, to me, it doesn't resonate. I don't know how long it's going to last, but the girl went down to NXT. She's trained, all right? She's been busting her butt in the ring for, what, probably a year?
Mm-hmm.
Getting fully trained as a wrestler.
On her off day, she's going down and training. Just point that out.
Give her a chance.
Anyway, as Lindsay mentioned earlier in the Tweet of the Week, AJ Styles is the new United States champion, and things happen when Lindsay's away. This was the other big story.
Kevin, I tell you, all I have to do is go out of town. That's it.
The last time she went out of town a couple of years ago, the women's Divas Revolution began, and all the women got called up.
In Atlanta. I'm so pissed.
She went across country. They showed up in her own backyard. Just saying. So, AJ held the United States Open Challenge. John Cena answered, but Kevin Owens was having none of it. Rusev showed up and helped attack. Kevin Owens only wants to be U.S. champion. He won't let anyone else be U.S. champion. I enjoyed the little back and forth, and I enjoyed the main event.
It was very good. Kevin, I love Kevin. I love Kevin. That's just, I can't get enough of him. He's doing this so perfectly. He's playing this so perfectly. Just when you think he's starting to get a little stale, they change a little something, he does something different, and he refreshes the character. I'm going to love the Styles Owens dynamic. I can already feel it. Yeah, give it to me. Just all the things. Just give it to me.
And then there was the Fashion Files.
Oh my god, the Fashion Files. Oh my god.
So, they're on a search for who destroyed their office. This week, they questioned Mojo Rawley. Zack Ryder showed up as well. He was wondering what the hell was going on. They had a horse on a stick. This was interesting. Next week, we're getting Ghost Aliens and X-Files themed episode of Fashion Files. The Fashion X-Files. I was very confused because the horse was missing.
They think Ghost Aliens took it.
Mm-hmm.
I just like this because I love how they parody, like, every cop show there is to parody. They did, like, the 1930s, 40s detective films. They haven't done Dragnet yet, but that could tie into the 1930s films. They've done Miami Vice. They did Law and Order. Now they did Walker, Texas Ranger. They're getting ready to do the X-Files. Like, I love that they just take all these detective mystery shows and they just parody them in the most horrible way, but it's awesome. Plus, Fandango and Assless Chaps. Do we really need to argue with this?
I'm going to throw this out there. We don't have time to really talk about it, but I'm going to throw this out as a theory that I heard tonight. So you know they're in search of who attacked them, right? What if it's Eric and Luke?
Well, one, those two would have to be on the same page.
Maybe they are.
Maybe they are, maybe they aren't. I don't think they are. But they could be. It's entirely possible. Eric could have, like, found Luke, and Luke could have finally talked sense to him, but I very much doubt it.
It's a theory.
It would make me very happy if that's the theory where Eric and Luke finally just get over their differences and they get back together. Because, God love them, they need each other at this point because WWE is doing crap with them.
But that was SmackDown in a nutshell.
But we need to talk about... Oh, wait, no. We need to talk about NXT.
So it's time for the NXT Rundown.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So what did you want to talk about from NXT?
So we need to talk about last week's main event between Bobby Roode and Roderick Strong, because holy crap.
That was awesome. His wife was amazing in the crowd for that matchup. It was awesome. They had a fantastic match. Chemistry was awesome. The match was great. The emotion in the match was awesome. Fantastic match. Bobby Roode, they had the 1-2-3, and they thought, oh my god, Roderick Strong's the winner. Roderick Strong's going to win. But his foot was underneath the rope, or was on the rope, something like that. And the ref saw it at the end, and it was like, no, you didn't win the belt. But he goes over to his wife, and they were all celebrating. And then his wife was just livid when it didn't happen.
Yeah, she looked ready to kill Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, run. She's going to mess you up.
And then Bobby wins and then taunts the wife. It was awesome. It was really, really awesome. So, that was last week. That was the major high point from last week. We had to get the cover, but we had no time last week because we went really long with Matt.
Yeah, we would have covered NXT. We actually did get to see NXT, but we went really long with Matt. And it's like, the show's going to be like 2.5 hours. So, no, we'll talk about it when I get back. So, there you go. Yeah, love this match. Love this feud. Let's see if it continues, but I don't think it will for right now. Because Bobby Roode is up to his old tricks by convincing Commissioner Regal that, you know, the two undefeated men need to face each other in one Killian Dane and Drew McIntyre. I'm okay with this. I'm fine with this.
Should be an interesting matchup whenever that goes down here in the next couple weeks. Making his debut, Bobby Fish.
Yeah, everybody lost their mind for Bobby Fish, and except for Aleister Black. He was less than impressed with Bobby Fish. He was just kind of, like, mildly intrigued, but at the same time, he's just, like, yawn. But they had a really, really good match.
They had a good match. Black Mass for the win. Aleister Black.
A hard Black Mass. Like, a hard Black Mass. He got all of that for the win.
Yeah. We saw a vignette for the Street Profits. We had a qualifying matchup for the Mae Young Classic. Vanessa Bourne beat Jamie Hackey in about 2 minutes. The Velveteen Dream tried to be interviewed, but he left because it's not right setting. And then we saw the attack of, where Lindsay mentioned how Roode wanted the Killian Dane Drew McIntyre match, because before that we had a video of Sanity beating down on Drew in the parking lot. Then we had the return of Gianni Gargano.
This hurt my heart.
He missed people hearing Channy for Johnny Wrestling. He missed it. Admitted that he never saw Ciampa's attack coming. He said he asked himself why so many times, but he doesn't think he'll ever fully understand. However, he said he's not there to dwell on that. Let's talk about the future. He needs to go back doing what he does best. He said, Takeover Brooklyn is the next biggest show of the year, and he wants to be on it. He needs to be on it, because he needs to be Johnny Wrestling again. And then we heard his music, and yeah, fine segment. Got the point across. He's back, and Ciampa's out for a while.
Yeah, and so Johnny Gargano is on his way.
Next week, we'll have Killian Dane and Drew McIntyre, as earlier mentioned. Ember Moon takes on Ruby Riott next week as well. Then we have the main event, Heavy Machinery, taking on the Authors of Pain. Big man match, big man stuff. Authors of Pain retain. Afterwards, Sanity showed up, and it looked like they were ripping out pages from the Book of Truth, the Book of Pain, something like that.
Is that what that was?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I couldn't figure out what that was.
Their pages were falling from the ceiling. I would assume it was from his book.
I guess.
I would assume that was what was implied.
But can we just talk about Nikki Cross being the leader of Sanity? Because I don't know where EY was, but yes. Nikki Cross leading Killian Dane and Alexander Wolfe. Yes. All the things, yes. Do it. For the love of God, let that crazy nutty little Scottish fruitcake be the leader. Please, that would, like, do my heart so good.
I believe EY missed the taping because of the passing of his mother.
Yes, that's correct. I'm sorry, yes. Our apologies and our condolences to Eric Young, but I'm okay with Nikki Cross leading Sanity.
It's good to see the three of them back together.
It was, because they've kind of drifted apart, and now they're drifting back together again, because Nikki's, I guess, out of the title hunt for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they need to keep her on TV, they need to keep her relevant, because she is the breakout of that group.
Book of Dominance is what it was called.
Okay, alright. But Heavy Machinery had a good showing with the Authors of Pain, and they took them to task a little bit, so keep an eye out on Heavy Machinery. Just keep an eye out on them.
I was sad I lost points.
I know.
But that was NXT. I thought overall it was a solid show. It's getting better by the week.
It's getting better by the week, and I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. No problems on my part, but that does it for us, for NXT, for everything. So, well, you got plugs, so plug away.
Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/recradioshow. There's something new coming to the channel in the next week or two. So subscribe to the channel, youtube.com/recradioshow. Saturday night, midnight, this is Secret Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. We're doing slogans this week for the Greater Than Great Debate. Check it all out at CBRadioLive.com. #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. CBRadio Live on Facebook and the Twitter. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio returns a preview Battleground, 10 p.m. Eastern. At WTR Sunday night on the Facebook and the Twitter. Monday night's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Tuesday night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. We're WTR Sims. Again, subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/RackRadioShow, for archives of that. At some point, we're doing the Rack Extra Glow. We'll give you updates when it happens. Should be in the next few days. So you just do all that. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll preview Battleground and the Punjabi Prison all next week here on the Rack. At Rack Radio Show on the Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Stitcher, iTunes, Apple Podcast, whatever it's called, Google Play, Twitch, Instagram, it's all there. Search Rack Radio Show. At Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. You can go to my website, psychboarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing sponsors, Gerwick.net, fightbook.com, and Wrestling Figure Photography, instagram.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com. And we'll see you next week. Bye! They don't want none, no. They don't want none. They look scared, no, they don't really want none. And I'm a Mack truck, don't get run over. We some country boys working overtime, boy. Kings of the South, we never had nothing. Blue collar boys doing with our hands muddied. WildTalkRadio.com.